Hilariously Melbourne.
This is a great day today for many reasons, but mainly because it is 15 years since one of the most epic television fails occurred. It's one of my favourite viral videos. We're going to play the audio in case you never saw this. It was in the UK on the BBC. The BBC run a news service in the morning, so they speak to politicians, prime ministers, and they were talking politics, and they invited a commentator to come on and to break down, I don't know, whatever the element of this political issue was. And unfortunately, I'll tell you the behind-the-scenes story. So they brought the wrong person on set.
Oh, that's right.
So a man called Guy Gomer, he had turned up at the television station. He was a computer technician. Yeah. He was going to help them fix the computers in the office. So he's in reception, but one of the producers has walked out to reception, seen him sitting there and thought he was the guest. Ushered him onto the set. So imagine this, you're a computer technician just coming to fix a hard drive in the office, and the next minute you are sitting on set talking across Britain on a live television show.
Well, Guy Cuny is the editor of the technology website News Wireless. Hello, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Were you surprised by this verdict today?
I'm very surprised to see this verdict to come on me, because I was not expecting that. When I came, they told me something else, and I'm coming. You got an interview there, so it's a big surprise anyway.
A big surprise.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sacre bleu.
It was because I used to go on the show, Thank God You're Here. That is the equivalent of Thank God You're Here. Yeah. What would you do in that circumstance? And I thought he played along well.
He done well.
But because it is 15 years since that happened, I thought, why not put a list together of some epic TV fails?
Maybe he's got a list this morning.
Bit of fun. I'm going to stay in the UK. This was during a cross to a reporter in the UK covering the election. And he was standing there on the street, but you will hear a very enthusiastic punter out enjoying the election too.
But what we can say is that it looks for him in Uxbridge also something where there may be some concern. He had a 12,000 majority here.
12,000!
It's now down to 5,000.
5,000!
Some people think it won't happen again.
It won't happen again!
Thanks very much, Tim. Lots of people trying to get in on the act there.
I love the
repeating
people.
Repeating
everything. I love a bit of a news hype man.
Yeah.
That should happen more. Just when Sam Max doing the weather. Top of 17 today.
17!
In at number two, a wonderful political reporter, Paul Bongiorno.
Ooh, yeah.
You turned to Paul during an election here in Australia.
I
always
tried.
Crossing from Canberra. Well, this was an update from Canberra that none of us expected.
Paul, there are reports the reshuffle has moved six cabinet ministers from the Gillard camp to the Rudd camp. So is she in big trouble?
Well, Lexi, I've been searching all day and I can't find six. I can't find that either. I can't find six.
Good on him, Paul.
Bit of fun.
He's rolled with it. I like that.
Reporter. And then, now this is a classic. We've played this before. It is a lot of fun. Speaking of weather presenters, back when Steve Jacobs was doing the weather for the Today Show, he was holding a rooster. Now, listen out to the, I mean, it's going to be very obvious. Listen to the bit where he gets attacked by the rooster.
This is a big black Australop cockerel, one of 500 birds that are being judged today at the show. I'll tell you more later.
I haven't seen the video, but I reckon I know.
Oh, it's so good.
And then
easy to pinpoint when that cockerel is turned.
Special mention. And it seems a bit rough doing this because, Nick Cody, you are one of Australia's finest stand-up comedians and only one to have graced one of the biggest chat shows in the US. Conan O'Brien cherry-picked, hand-picked you to perform on his television show.
I did. Play a song, Josiah. Let's go. Good call, Fee. I love it. Thanks for getting around me.
Everyone in the United States was watching. Conan gives you a great intro. How's his fantastic comedian from Down Under?
I stumbled a word.
Stumble. Should we enjoy the stumble? I mean, this is great comedy, but let's please enjoy the stumble.
The older the house is, the more she finds it cute. Oh, Nick, look at that. That house is from the 1840s. Isn't that cute? Oh, it's just so cute. I'm like, no, you know what's cute? Air conditioning. Air conditioning's cute. Good water pressure. That's cute. I guarantee it's not happening in that old house. You're going to get in the shower and think, am I washing myself? Or is there an old stroke victim dribbling on me, dribbling on me from the roof?
Stumbled. Dribble on the word dribbling is pretty great.
That's a funny
when you're making
bit,
fun. What, dribbling on the word dribbling?
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, I nailed it, didn't I,
Fev? You meant to do that. It was the best bit.
I certainly did.
Fifi, Fev, and Nick's best picks on the Fox.
Fev, one of my favourite things about you. Look, I love everything about you and your family, but I love that you, in your house, your household, all your kids, your wife, you all are part of a WhatsApp group.
We are.
What's it called again?
Family of Lucias.
And you have conversations via a WhatsApp group.
In our house.
I know, that's the funny thing, because a lot of people do WhatsApp groups to stay in touch because they don't live together. You could run downstairs, but instead you'll put a message on a WhatsApp group. Yeah. It's brilliant.
Yeah, and also the kids will sometimes, because they've got their headphones on and they're like, they'll text when I'm sitting next to them because they know that it comes up. It's strange. Weird kids, but we do. So I thought I'd just read out some, this is on Friday when we found out Mia was a celiac. So I was ordering for dinner. So I ordered some Thai and I ordered some roti bread. How do you say it?
Roti.
Roti.
I'm probably wrong. I'll cop that.
Yeah, we've got to get to the point. We've got to get to the bottom of that. Now, I ordered all this gluten-free stuff because gluten-free is part of being celiac.
Yes.
So I put up the menu at what I'd ordered and said, got dinner all gluten-free with a thumbs up. Then Mia put a sad face because it was the first time that she'd realised that she was celiac. And then Lulu responded, can you eat that, Mia? And then Lenny, being the smarty of the group, he just said it's gluten-free. Obviously, she can eat it, Lulu. Lulu wrote, well, sorry, Einstein. And then Lenny wrote back, because, you know, SpongeBob SquarePants and Patrick, talk like that, Patrick. She said, it's fine, Patrick. Shots fired in the family WhatsApp. And then I wrote, I hope so, Lulu, fingers crossed, with a kiss. So we're all sitting in the same house.
Probably on the same couch. You wouldn't know.
Then the next morning, Lulu and Lenny are at it again. This is at nighttime, sorry. Lulu. Lenny, can you get me some toilet paper? Because she'd run out of toilet paper.
Right, hopefully not.
We're in a pandemic.
But what, out of interest, why is Lulu go to Lenny? Because any of you could walk in with the toilet
because
paper.
Because their toilet is next to their bedroom, right, so Lenny's the closest.
Got it.
3 minutes later, please. Lenny writes back, I'm watching a documentary. Lulu wrote back 3 minutes later, please. 5 minutes after that, I'm still in the toilet. Then Lenny, because she's lazy, wrote, Mia, can you give me some toilet paper from your toilet? And also get it. 15 minutes later, Lulu, geez. Can someone get me some toilet paper? I'm still on the toilet. That's the family of Lucian right there.
In those days, did you as her father just go?
I was watching the footy. It was Friday night. But the Bombers were getting beat. Anyway, that's good fun.
Fifi, Fev, and Nick's best picks on the Fox.
Big day for Friends fans yesterday at 5:02 p.m. Eastern Australian Standard Time on Binge. The Friends reunion dropped. All the cast were back together, and one of our favourite cast members who's joining us from New York City is Janice herself, Maggie Wheeler. Maggie, welcome to the show.
Hello, everybody. I'm so happy to be with you. I'm actually in Los Angeles, although I was born in New York.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I feel bad because we're zooming into your apartment there. You're in Los Angeles. You have a very New York-style room happening. That looks like New York. Yeah.
Well, I am a native New Yorker, so it travels with me wherever I go.
And can we talk about
that? If I lean to the right or the left, you'd see my backyard and you'd know I'm not in New York City.
Now, Janice, I called you Janice. Maggie, you are such one of the most memorable characters from Friends. And that's why your role kept recurring, I'm imagining. No one wanted to let you go. And I knew you first from Seinfeld, the episode where you were Elaine's friend and she was trying to set you up with George. And you stood out in that. You have a personality, a character that does stand out. And you've even acknowledged your voice is quite unique. At what stage, when you became an actor, did you realize, that my voice is getting a lot of feedback?
Well, you know, I started actually in radio when I was pretty young. That's where I started my acting career. My neighbors are using a blender. I apologize if you can hear that too.
That's Los Angeles.
Yeah. So I started as a voice actor, and I've always loved playing around with my voice, and I've always loved, you know, just kind of diving into a character voice first in a way. So Janice was just another great opportunity to do that.
How was last night? I watched it over here in Australia, and when you got to the couch, everyone was so chuffed to see you, and you reunited with Chandler, and they showed some old footage. God, it was funny. But what was that like seeing everyone again?
You know what? It was incredible. I mean, from the moment I arrived at Warner Brothers and just the kind of, you know, the memory lane of it all, you know, just seeing everything, seeing my old dressing room, visiting the stage, and then going out there, and I was sort of hidden behind a bunch of trees and, you know, off to the side of the stage. And when I walked out and they all just jumped up to give me that much love, it was such a sweet moment, I have to say. I mean, really made my year.
Do you still catch up with any of the, are you still friends with any of the cast from Friends?
Well, I'm friendly with everybody, and I run into some of them from time to time. But we're not having lunch. No one's having lunch with anyone these days. But it was a great homecoming, I have to say.
I bet it was. And to have be such an iconic character, because everyone knows Janice from Friends, particularly if you were a Friends fan. Do you still get it? Like, this many years later, can you be like ordering a smoothie at a juice bar and it's Janice?
Yeah, it happens quite a bit. I mean, look, this show has reached so many people all over the world. I have people come up to me from India and from Japan and from everywhere just to say how much the show has meant to them. So I do. I get stopped quite a bit. And my family, it's a little joke amongst the members of my family, my daughters and my husband, that the airport is the place where I get stopped the most.
Watching last night, and you speak about cultures, it was shown in so many different languages and countries around the world. And the guys spoke about when it first hit, you know, you're on Vanity Fair and you're on front of all these different magazines for this TV show. You're winning all these awards and no one really knew what it was like except for all you guys that were in the cast. When did you realize when you went out, they're going, oh, my God, that's a girl from Friends. It must have been such a was it scary?
Well, you know, I didn't have the same experience that, you know, that the Fab Friends had, yep, because they were every single night. You know, I mean, every night they were in your home, or every week they were in your home. And Janice came, you know, when you least expected her, as this great rolling surprise that started as a one-off, a single episode, and ended up with 10 years of work. Wow. So, you know, the recognition factor was definitely there. But I think that level of fame and that level of scrutiny that they were under was not the same experience that I was having.
Now, last night they did speak about Rachel and Ross and about their love affair. Now, did they really get it on? Did they get it on at all off screen?
You know, I think they were telling the truth, that they were, you know,
crushing,
that they were crushing on each other, but that they were each in relationships and that they were respectful of those boundaries. I remember that chapter. I remember talking to Jen about it and at the time, and it was a real thing. And you know, and they are both fantastic people, and you can understand why.
They did.
The attraction is there.
Maggie, is Janice's laugh just an amplification of your own? Or is that... No.
No. But, you know, some people, when I naturally laugh, yeah, some people say, oh, I hear it. But, of course, it was a complete construction on my part. And years ago, somebody asked me about it, and I said it was like a combination of Flipper, the dolphin from the 70s. Yeah. Oh no, that's and Woody Woodpecker, was a cartoon.
Yeah, of course.
And so I really just kind of created her laugh that, you know. But it's God, I hope it doesn't sound like me.
Very good,
Janice. In honor of you and your character, I keep calling you Janice, Maggie. It's terrible. But
I answer to both,
Maggie. In honor of Janice and her impact on Friends, we are going to play a song now that we have remixed to involve Janice. It's in fact Usher's OMG. This is created by our wonderful audio engineer, Dave Konski. Konski doesn't get much of a run on our show, but he's created this. So we want to thank you so much for coming on the show, Maggie. It's great to touch base with you and celebrate you and all the cast of Friends after all this time.
Thank you so much. I hope everybody loves the reunion special. It's so fantastic, and it's great to spend some time with you all.
Fifi, Fev and Nick. Fifi, Fev and Nick's best picks on The Fox.
Remember last week we addressed Nick Fev's COD edition, the Call of Duty edition. Addiction. Well, on Friday, we did play this a bit later in the show, so you might have missed it. But on Thursday, I did join Fev for a game of Call of Duty. I finally had a crack at it because all I do is hear about it. And I thought, well, it can't be that hard.
I thought you guys were just making stuff up to make me feel bad that I was away in Sydney. You're like, I've got a big TV. We're all playing PlayStation. I'm like, get out of here. Come on. It looks so much fun. You really got into it, Fee.
I really, because you can't not get into it. It's a war zone and it's the most stressful thing I've ever done.
Actual blood. That is disgusting. This is so gross. Oh, that's horrible. I don't need to see that.
Say it out.
Righto, it's time to boogie.
That child.
That's your teammate.
Well, that child needs to go back to school.
So this is to aim?
Hang on, what do you mean this is to aim?
So to aim?
When you say aim?
So to aim at something, so press that.
What's that one?
That's to shoot, to aim and shoot them.
Oh, I shot. Yeah. Aim, shoot. I can see
bang.
Him.
Yeah, oh my God, she gets it.
I don't feel safe. Abort, let's get out.
You can't abort, stand up, move.
I don't know what he's saying. Up.
So he's going to shoot you, he's going to shoot you.
Oh, don't, I'm hidden. I'm hiding.
You can't just hide. You're going to kill.
Why can't I hide?
You're going to kill.
Which one's the killing button?
This one.
Which one?
That's shooting.
Don't use my ammo. I'm coming, guys. I'm coming.
They're going to win this. There's only 14 people. 14 left.
Here we go. If I win this, you're running naked down Clarendon Street.
No, you've got to kill someone.
No, you said if I win.
That way. Watch out.
I've got you, you little turd.
No, you're dead. Oh, you're the best. They're watching you.
Quick, quiet.
Well, I want to hear them. Oh, one of them jumped out. This isn't
just
what
they be quiet.
Say.
They won't hear us. Oh, man. I don't know. Ah! Someone just help me! He snuck up on me!
God, you are sh**.
Rebirth. What happens here?
So if you die, you come back.
What do I do?
Yeah, so you got to yell out, I want a rebirth.
I want a rebirth.
You'd have to do that.
Who are these guys?
They're our mates.
Who's that one that looks like an android?
That's me.
Where'd they go? Did they leave? No. Was it you?
That's the one I wear. I wear that one.
It's a woman.
Yeah. You want to play again?
No, I'm nervous. I don't know about these red dots you kicked on that red. Recon, contact, circle closing now, guys. Circle closing now.
You see what I mean now when I say it's hard?
It's very stressful, though. I'm really honestly, you don't need this stress in your life. You live in Blair Gowrie. Just go to the beach. You'll have a heart attack playing this game because I'm so stressed after that.
But normally I have my feet, I'm really close, I have a glass of wine.
I don't want you playing that anymore.
Okay.
The footage is unbelievable. Head to our Instagram page, Fifi Fev Nick, right now.
Fifi Fev and Nick's best picks on The Fox.
Now, let's talk for all the listeners right now who are obsessed with shoes much in the same way. And you introduced a lot of us to that through Carrie Bradshaw and your love of shoes. I mean, for you to have a shoe collection just seems so obvious because you've introduced a lot of us to our love of shoes. Is that something you had before Carrie?
I did a little bit. I mean, nobody's relationship with shoes, I think, can compare with Carrie's I always say it's like a fever for her.
Absolutely.
But I always did love shoes, but I'm not a really, I'm not a crazy shopper.
That's really fascinating.
Yeah, I'm not, and haven't been for many years.
Is that right?
I mean, I think I used to be a little more so, but shopping sometimes can give me anxiety, like I feel bad. Do you know what I mean? If I purchase, like I buy something and I'm like, oh, do I really need that? Will I want that in 5 years? Is that going to look good on me in 5 years?
Exactly.
You know, I keep thinking like, oh, well, what about when I retire? Which Matthew's like, we're never going to retire, but I'll be like, in my closet, I'll be like, well, I should definitely keep that sweater because when I retire, when I'm in Ireland, you know,
you might need it.
Yeah.
Is it a personal question to ask how many shoes you might have thereabouts?
I don't have as many as you might imagine and far less than many women I know. But I mean, I have a nice amount and I get to borrow a lot, which is makes a difference.
Absolutely.
I have a nice amount of shoes, but I wouldn't say it's staggering. I would say that if any woman really saw my closet, they would be enormously disappointed because it's New York.
Yes,
I don't
have
a big closet.
Of
you know,
course.
So.
Now, as I sit here nursing a former thought on my lap,
Sweet.
Your beautiful son is about to turn 17.
That's right.
And leave home.
Yep.
Is this a big turning
He won't
point?
Be luckily. He doesn't graduate. He's just a junior right now.
A few.
So
okay,
he's got two more. He's got, you know, the remainder of this year and his senior year. So we have a little bit of time.
Okay.
But
you can
he is going away for his spring semester of junior year this year for about 6 months or 5 months. So that will be, you know, I think it will reveal to all of us how are we at separation. I mean, he's a curious young person, and he's excited about new experiences. So I don't think he's going to be homesick. I think he's going to be just fine. But I think his absence, I think, will be really felt by his sisters.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So I think we're all sort of in a sort of premature separation process happening, even now, which
I
is
can
odd.
Imagine.
It's just because we like him so much.
Which is a good thing.
And worked out well.
Now, we'll have a lot of young girls listening, even ladies who are maybe reaching a stage in their life where they want a new challenge. And, you know, we've been here for Business Chicks and talking about how inspirational you are, following your dreams and committing to things you're passionate about. What advice or little pearl of wisdom for any girls listening who think to themselves, I've got an idea, I'd love to pursue it, but I'm not sure?
Well, I think, first of all, I think I just want to say a couple words about Business Chicks because... I think the name doesn't tell the whole story. You know, it's a funny word for women, right? But it doesn't tell the story about the women that run that business and how smart and, you know, they had an idea. I mean, it's a really nice example for young women, right? These women had an idea and they wanted to bring women together. They wanted to find a way of creating a community to support women and have conversations. And I think that's the best example. And what I would, you know, I'm always... loath to give advice because I feel like I'm not good at it, but I tell people work really hard and have crazy big dreams. Like I always say that in the shower is where I have some of my most outrageous and most, you know, fantasy-like ideas. The worst that can happen is someone says no to you, and you know, you're not any worse for having tried, and you're often better for it. So find an idea that's your own and it's special, and dream big and go after it, and pick up the phone and or email someone blindly and say, you know what, Mr. So-and-so or Ms. So-and-so, I admire what you do. I'm trying to start a business. Can you give me 5 minutes? And I think you'd be surprised at how often elders
are
prepared and want to share and then want to mentor, you know?
Finally, as I said, we're about to head off to Japan next week with the radio show.
I cannot believe that. It's so exciting.
We love this. It's for we're all into karaoke.
That's hilarious and fantastic.
Well, see, but I also read that your least favorite scene, is that true?
I don't like to.
You don't like karaoke?
I don't like karaoke, but I don't like, I don't mind being there, but I just don't want to do it. I'm too scared. I'm too ashamed. I'm already humiliated. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But I love to see other people do it. I think it's hilarious and people really love it.
They
good
do get
at it.
Into it, I know.
And they're really good at it.
Do you have a favorite song? If you were to ever sing karaoke, what would your choice be? Your song choice?
Oh gosh, any love song from the 70s? I really like. Yes,
I've been to me. Do you know that one?
Yes, yes. Or any Glen Campbell. I love Glen Campbell. Any Billy or early Billy Joel.
Oh,
I love.
Lovely. I agree.
There's so many people.
Aren't
they?
Well, I might, when I get up at a karaoke bar in Japan, I might sing Uptown Girl in honor of you.
That's latter Billy Joel.
Oh, you're right. Not the
I'm
early.
I'm talking about like 70 steps, Turnstiles, Strangers, Cold Spring Harbor.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, Piano Man.
Piano Man. Okay.
Uptown Girl is fantastic, but that's the 80s.
Yeah. Okay. No, you're good point. Good point.
That's mid-career.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank
Sarah
you.
Jessica. We just got through.
Perfect.
Got through.
It was so lovely spending time with you, and everybody spoke so highly of you, and you far exceeded your
very
already
sweet.
Very shiny reputation.
Oh.
So thank you so much for making time.
thank you. Oh, Daisy.
Okay, it's time for Daisy.
It's time.
No, thank,
thank you. You're wonderful.
Be
thank
good.
You
safe,
so
safe
much.
Travels.
Fifi, Fev, and Nick's best picks on The Fox.
There's a photo of some of us in the online news today. I say online because I have the physical copy of The Australian and it's not here in front of me.
The Australian Financial Review?
Well, we thought it was the Financial Review. So last week, Nick and I went and got a photo to celebrate the fact that SEA, that's the company that parent company that owns Fox FM. So here at the radio station, we're moving. At the moment, we're Clarendon Street, South Melbourne, but we're moving to 101 Moray Street, South Melbourne.
Are they trying to make that like 101 Bourke Street?
Sounds good.
101
like
Collins.
It.
Collins
yeah.
Street, sorry, not Bourke Street. Collins Street. That's fancy.
Moray. Now, if you go online on The Australian, you can see a photo.
Is that near Gotham City?
I don't know what Gotham City is. What are you talking? I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, it's not often you will find members of the Fifi, Fev and Nick show in the commercial property section of The Australian, mind you. So what happened last? If you see this photo, you'll say, oh, well, there's, I think that might be Fifi. Yep, standing there, the girl.
There's
two very well-dressed men.
Yeah.
Now, they are the men that own the building.
David Deague.
Yes, wonderful guys that we met when we had the photo taken.
A lot of cha-chings.
And there's Nick. No Fev. So to paint the picture, last Friday morning, we were asked to go and take a photo at our new location when Fox FM moves next August. And Fev, you weren't available.
Yeah, I said no.
You said no.
I said no the night before.
To the team photo.
Yeah. No, it wasn't a team photo. It was actually a Fifi photo.
Well, it wasn't now.
And Fifi didn't want to do it, and then they dragged us into it.
That's exactly how it happened. What do you mean? Well, how could I not want to do it? I did it.
Yeah, I know, but they asked other people. Didn't they ask someone else, and they said no, and then they asked you, and then you were like, I'm not doing it by myself.
No, they didn't. They always asked me.
Yeah.
It was about who was going to take the photo with us.
Yeah, see?
Because at the end of the day.
Really, you want to unpack it.
Can't really just be us. But we didn't know. I didn't know that the owners of the building were going to be there. And they are dapper men.
Yeah, they're rich.
They are incredibly well-dressed men. Now, you can see the photo. We uploaded this photo onto our Instagram and our social media.
Because it looks like you, Boxy, and the two other guys grabbed the guy from off Clarendon Street photo with you.
Well, I mean, do you mind if I say this, Nick? So, and it is not necessarily Nick's fault. I mean, he may have known he was having a photo taken, but you didn't know two incredibly well-dressed millionaires would be in the photo.
No.
And they smelt rich. Oh. They looked rich. They were they're amazing men. And if you look at this photo, you'll see me. And the only way to describe the way I look in this photo is hysterical. I'm in a fit of laughter. And why I'm in a fit of laughter that I couldn't control is because there's the two incredibly well-dressed men. There's me. Look, I was just in pants and a jacket,
yeah,
a coat.
But you look nice.
Those two blokes, David Deague and his son, it'd be close to a $1 billion company, maybe even more, own a lot of buildings. And then Hoppers Crossing Zone, Nick Cody.
Yeah.
In a pair of boardies. Essentially a pair of board shorts. I couldn't stop laughing to the point where the photographer said, maybe just close your eyes because obviously the sun's getting in your eyes. No, I'm hysterically laughing because Nick is so underdressed for this particular photo shoot.
The big dog had no idea. He was just staring at me like, what? I've never smelt that before. That is Lynx Africa, bro. Get amongst it.
Yeah, it's a bit flattening for the brand.
It was really, really funny. And
Wasn't I dressed appropriately?
Oh, I saw the photo, but yeah, but you weren't to know. Well, you knew the night before, but that's okay. Each to their own. You be you.
Hey, when did we find out, Leon? When did we find out that the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, was coming in? Was that yesterday morning or the night before?
I know where you're going to go. This is our workplace, mate.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
This is our workplace.
Oh, the day before?
Yeah.
Somebody wore a Swiss cheese t-shirt in?
Mate, that t-shirt's worth more than your closet.
And this is my workplace.
I can wear whatever I want. If he wants to come in as a guest into my area, I wear what I want.
We didn't know they were going to be on the roof.
Who do you think you're getting a photo with?
Fee.
Me.
You think that people are going to be there?
No, he didn't.
No, he had no idea.
Anyway, he had no idea. But it was a great case of being underdressed, not reading the dress code.
To be fair, I don't think they knew we were coming.
I wish they didn't come.
Karina in East Bentley. Hi, Karina.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, Karina. Did you get the dress code wrong?
Very wrong. So I got invited to a friend's 21st many years ago, and the theme was ocean, a formal with a touch of ocean. And so I love a theme. So I had, you know, went blue dress, blue shoes. I had, you know, I went and bought some special Christian Dior blue eyeshadow, blue lipstick, blue fingernails, like went full. Wow. I was the ocean. Like I was the ocean.
Sure, was it an Avatar and, sort of theme?
Yeah, no, yeah. It was a bit like that in hindsight. And my best friend opened the door. It was her birthday. Opened the door and she's in a black dress with a shell pinned to her. And I'm there as the actual full ocean.
As you're a Smurf.
Ariel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Karina,
thank God there was no social media back then.
Yeah, you're lucky, aren't you? Well, and the boys have heard the story. Remember the party I got asked to? I thought it was a cowgirl party because it was a shindig, but it was just at Bunyip, which is Bunyip, just a bit in the country. The I thought it was a country party. So I turned up with chaps
she had
and guns.
She had a couple of double barrels next to her.
My Cobra. Very embarrassing. Mitch from Epping. Hey, Mitch.
How are we?
Good, Mitch. Did you get the dress code wrong?
Oh, only slightly. So a couple of my mates had a bit of a party at their house for Melbourne Cup a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And they put on the Facebook post, dress fancy, and I read it as fancy dress. So everyone's in their nice dresses, beautiful suits, and I rocked up in an inflatable horse costume.
Oh, Mitch. But well, you would have been the life of the party. You would have been fun, Mitch.
Yeah.
Oh, everyone definitely got around me. Ended up winning best dress as well, so I reckon I won.
You did.
Did you get around talking like that?
That's pretty good.
Hmm. I play with the jockeys on COD. It's the best. Sounds like I'm playing with 12-year-old kids. Like,
shitty riff, shitty riff.
It's like a 30-year-old man.
Hilariously Melbourne.